In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here we are, right at the end of chapter 2 in the Gospel of Mark, and already they're plotting to destroy him, all because our Lord had the temerity to heal somebody in front of them on the Sabbath. They've been walking through a grain field, and the disciples were plucking heads of grain and eating them. I really never have walked through a wheat field. We have soybeans here, corn perhaps. And I can understand corn, you know, you put the water on to boil, then go pick the ears. It'll be fresh. But they're walking along, and they're doing this on the Sabbath, on Saturday. And they had been commanded to rest on the Sabbath. What Jesus points out to the Pharisees is that this is not a requirement. It's a permission. And there's a difference. Give yourself a day off. I mean, until Judaism, we have no record of a day off during the week. You worked, and you worked, and you worked, and you died. That was pretty much life. But with the Ten Commandments, with the Judaism, you have this idea of taking one day a week and spending it seeing to yourself, resting, communing with God and with your family. And not just you, but everyone around you, the people who work for you, the animals, every bit of it. You should all take the day off and rest. But by the time of the Pharisees, it had stopped being so much an allowance and more of a commandment, a reason to hurt somebody. The Pharisees going around looking for people breaking the rules instead of enjoying the Sabbath. Now, in all fairness to the Pharisees, they saw themselves as being the good guys. They honestly thought in their heart of hearts they were doing what was right. To them, the whole Babylonian exile, the destruction of Israel several hundred years previously, had been because people didn't keep the laws. And so the Pharisees took it upon themselves to study these laws, 613 some odd commandments, and make sure that people understood what to do and not do so they could please God. So their motivation was good. They were trying to do the right thing. But in doing that, they made people's lives miserable at times. You're hungry? Nah, don't go grab any food. That would be work. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not the way it works. God gives you something good, and it gets turned into something bad. What should be the lifting of a burden at least one day a week, you've turned into a burden. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And then to add insult to injury, they follow him into the synagogue. And they see this guy with a withered hand. They're like, ah, we got him now. We know Jesus. He can't help himself. He's going to have to help this guy. You watch. We'll get him. But Jesus knows what they're thinking. And he says, okay, guys, should I do something good or something bad? Should I heal or kill on the Sabbath? What's the Sabbath for, boys? And of course, they can't say anything. If they say it's to do good, then he's justified in healing the man. If they say to do bad, they just look stupid, because everyone knows the Sabbath is not there to do bad things. And so they remain silent. What can they say? And so Jesus, scornfully, it says with anger, but I think scorn is probably a better word for it, says, fine, stretch out your hand. And the guy does, and he's healed. Now notice how this works here. Not only is something good being done, this man is able to have a livelihood now, can go out and work and can feed himself and perhaps his family or whatever's been going on in his life. But Jesus is not actively doing something here. He doesn't lay hands on the guy. He doesn't say, I heal your arm. He just says, stretch out your arm, making it abundantly clear that the healing comes from God. And then who are the Pharisees going to accuse of something? Hey, God, you didn't understand your own rule? You don't heal on the Sabbath, God. Why are you doing work? It looks ridiculous. Jesus was a pretty smart guy. He's able to twist the Pharisees into all kind of knots. But then the message comes to us. What do we do with this? How are we supposed to keep the Sabbath? I mean, let's face it, we don't even keep the Sabbath. It's Sunday. We switch from Saturday to Sunday with good reason. We worship on Sunday because that's the Sunday of the resurrection. If you paid attention to that hymn we just sang, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, it was light was brought into the world. And then it was light that was brought into the world with Jesus' resurrection. And then it was a Sunday when the Holy Spirit came and gave light to the world. These three lights happen on Sunday. So we celebrate on the Lord's Day. We come together on Sunday. God has given us the gift of taking a day off once a week, a day to be with family and with God, to rest and to enjoy life that God has given us. God gives us so many good and joyful things, and yet sin works constantly to distort them, to destroy them, to turn them, to make them bad. In another part of his letters, Paul says that even the law has been distorted by sin. It's kind of what was going on with the Pharisees. In their zeal to do good, in their zeal to help people do the right things, sin twisted that, and it became about power, authority, control. They took something that was good and turned it into something bad. We still do that. We take things that are good and make them bad, in all earnestness, trying to do the right thing. But that's it. It's very complicated to know what doing the right thing actually is, because we can convince ourselves of a whole lot of things. We're very smart people, and we can justify almost anything. How do we know when we're actually doing something that is good? Again, Paul gave an answer in another part of Scripture, not one of our readings today, but it's okay. He said, look at what happens as a result of what you do. Do your actions bring about peace, kindness, love, and compassion, those fruits of the Spirit? If what you're doing and trying to do good does good things, you're okay. You're probably on the right track. But if in your zeal to do good, you bring up enmity, strife, anger, hatred, factions, division, you're not doing it right. The fruits of the Spirit are good. It is totally possible for two people to do exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, and one to be bringing sin into the situation, and the other be doing good. That's how insidious sin is. It can take our best efforts and make them awful, which means that we have to be diligent and look at the result of our actions. Is what I'm doing bringing about good, or is it causing harm? And we can't just go by the letter of the law. That's what the Pharisees were doing. But it's not that simple. Or it is that simple. I mean, the idea is to love your neighbor and to love God. If what you're doing is out of love, it'll build, it'll grow, it'll nourish. And if what you're doing is not, then it's not. It'll tear down. It'll break apart. It'll build walls instead of bridges. We're called to love God with all our being, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we can know we're doing that when the fruits are good. And when the fruits are bad, we need to examine what we're doing and why we're doing it. Because even if we had the best of intentions, it's not right. Sin does that to things. We need to be vigilant to fight against our sinful natures that seeks to twist and distort, to break, and make sure that what we're doing is using the gifts that God has given us for goodness, enjoying the Sabbath instead of using it to hit people over the head with it, enjoying one another's community instead of using it as a weapon and signaling that the others are out there. The good news of God and Christ draws us together, draws us in, builds us up, and never tears down. If what we're doing does, we're doing it wrong. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.